So, big Beatles fan.
Love the Beatles, and that was actually, that Red album was one of the first album I ever bought as a kid, right? And that's really what hooked me on it. And it was the kind of music that my parents could tolerate, because I had an older brother that loved hard rock and metal, and it just wasn't for me. But the Beatles was at least something that we could both agree on. And as their careers went on, and my love for their music really just grew with that, even to the point as an epidemiologist, so there's this place in London where there was a tremendous cholera outbreak in the 1850s. And I took a trip there to see that, but I'm thinking, I'm in London. So I took a train out to Abbey Road Studios, and I walked across Abbey Road in my bare feet, just like Paul did in the album cover.
I've been introducing my 1-year-old and my 3-year-old to the Beatles lately. And we've been listening to the Red, the Blue, and
Hell
all
yeah.
this, just not just the compilation albums, but the studio albums and stuff, and they've just been digging the hell out of it. And you play too? See some guitars there?
I do, yeah. So that's, part of my love for the music is this whole singer-songwriters, right? Because of people like the Beatles and John Denver and Billy Joel, my love of that kind of music. So I really wanted to learn how to play that. I wish I had more time for guitar, and I'm thinking maybe when I retire, I'll start playing guitar again. But yeah, I do play a little bit of Beatles music and Simon and Garfunkel and that kind of stuff.
Well, you're here with me now because you're the director of epidemiology education at the Richard M. Fairbanks School of Public Health at IUPUI. And so you are the guy who can kind of tell us what is up at the moment and where
Yeah.
things might be headed. I'm getting my first shot tomorrow.
Great.
And now that J&J is on the scene with the vaccine, that kind of changed some projections on when we might reach what, the so-called herd immunity. So I don't know, where are we on the timeline as far as getting back to some semblance of normalcy?
Yeah, that's a great question. One, great. I'm glad you're getting vaccinated. I think that's really important. It's a good message to send out. That was really the question that everybody's been asking, right? As soon as vaccines became available, like back in December, if you recall, that was the next question we started getting asked in epidemiology a lot was when are we going to reach this kind of herd immunity threshold? And my initial projections were October, September, October, somewhere, in late 2021. But as more vaccines like Moderna then came out and then Johnson & Johnson, that timeline has shrank. And then with a new president and the presidential directive to get everybody vaccinated or at least open to vaccines by May 1st, that timeline shrinks even more. That tells us that we're getting more vaccine into the pipeline, right? That more vaccines are going out to states. States have capacity, it appears. At least Indiana has capacity to do more. We just need more vaccine. And now we're getting to that point. So, definitely I'm hoping by summer that we'll have that kind of sense of we can get together again. But it comes with the caveat that we have to make sure everybody gets vaccinated. This is still a dangerous virus. More people are dying every day from this still. So we have to be very prescribed in our steps and making sure that people that are eligible get vaccinated as soon as possible. And then if you get that second dose, make sure you're following up with that second dose and keep wearing those masks and staying physically distanced until we get that kind of all clear sign from public health.
Do you think the directives that we got last week from state government, there seems to have been some political pressure there, but I don't know. Do you feel like where we are or where we have gone in the last week or so has been responsible?
I'm really happy to see the vaccination numbers that we're getting coming out of state health. Basically, the governor has said, look, local health, you make the decision that best fits your community, right? Because every community is going to be a little bit different in terms of when they're getting vaccinated and positivity rates, right? How much disease is in that community. So the governor's allowing those local health officers to make those calls. It definitely changes the focus, right? So that we're not kind of all in this together. It kind of, and you may get variation from county to county, which is going to be confusing for people. But I think it's important just to pay attention to that and know your own status, right? Weigh your own risk. Have you been vaccinated? Are you going to be hanging out with other people that may not have been vaccinated? Right. So you want to protect them as well. So, wearing like the mask mandate, I think, is going to continue in Marion County and maybe not some of the surrounding counties. So it puts a little bit more of the onus on the local health officers. But I don't want people to kind of shirk their responsibility in this as well, right? That we all have to do our part. And staying informed is going to be part of that.
You're a lecturer, and this is this. I'll let you go because I know you're up against class right now as we're speaking. But how much has this been a teaching opportunity for you? I mean, I'm sure that this is, I could be wrong, but this seems to me like what you'd be talking about every single day in class.
It absolutely is. I mean, this is one of those things that we're going to be talking about to our grandchildren and our great-grandchildren, right? Just like we did the 1918-1919 pandemic. I mean, I still use that as an example in class. But now I've been able to say we've watched this from its arrival through today, and we could track its progress, and we could do assignments around this disease. So it's really a great learning opportunity, as well as for schools of public health around the country. They've seen increases in enrollments because of this pandemic, right? I often joke around and say, well, you know, people didn't know how to spell epidemiology or epidemiologist prior to the pandemic, and now everybody thinks they are one, right? So it's really kind of shed a lot of light on what public health does, what it can do, and all the job opportunities in public health, which are just always going to be there, right? We're always going to need public health. So this has been a great opportunity for us.
Tom Dyczynski, thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
My pleasure, Matt. It was great seeing you again.